Well, I think we can just jump right in here. It's the news, according to me. Good morning this morning. It is morning right now. It's morning time here in, what time is it? 10:05 Eastern time. I'm actually in Central time. It's 9:05 Central Standard Time. And I have we'll do a quick show this morning. I've got a whole lot of things going on. There's a whole lot of things going on politically, of course, in the world out there today. And so we have a few things to get into as we talk about what's happening around the world and around the nation, some of the things that are being said and all the things that are being rattled around about. We have, I'm not a lawyer. I am not a doctor. I'm not a financial counselor. I am a guy who has a cup with some chai in it, with half and half creamer. I'm in Chicago in a hotel. Later on today, I'll be going to, I'll end up in Appleton, Wisconsin. So the show tomorrow is going to be from Appleton, Wisconsin tomorrow morning. I'll be there most of the day. I should be back at home Wednesday and Thursday for Wednesday and Thursday's show. However, Friday's show, I don't know where that's going to be. I could probably find out if I just look at my thing here. I think I end up somewhere. I'm not sure where though. Let's see what my schedule says here. Not that it matters, I guess. But Friday, yes, Friday. What's that? What just happened? Oh, there we go. All right. Friday. There we go. All right. I will end up in D.C. Actually, Minneapolis is where I will be. On Friday morning, I end up going to D.C. over the weekend, but I'll be in Minneapolis for the Friday morning show. Appleton, Wisconsin. All these cold places is where that's where I'll be. Minneapolis will be pretty cold. The weather has been atrocious this last week, and I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in Omaha, Nebraska right now. Not there. Yeah, I ended up getting stuck in Miami. Stuck in Miami. Miami's not such a bad place. It's just the airport is where I got stuck, and that was kind of bad. I was there for about almost 7 hours trying to get out of there and trying to get back to Chicago, which I was supposed to be in Tallahassee. Ended up in Birmingham. It was kind of a screwy deal. And then got stuck in Miami most of the day yesterday. And I got back here to Chicago just to kind of try to get back in the swing of things and try to get back out in there, out there. So anyway, get home late tomorrow night. Either late, actually. It's going to be morning time, early morning or late mid-morning on Wednesday by the time I get home, depending on what I do when I get done. Oh, goodness gracious. President Trump is saying some stuff. He's getting himself, you know. Here's what I think Trump is doing, and this is just my opinion of how this guy operates. Now, hear me out on this. My backup cup, before I get too far here, my backup cup, besides my chai, is basically water. I do also have a bottle of chocolate milk, but it's low-fat chocolate milk, which I'm not really into this low-fat milk thing. I typically drink whole milk, and they didn't have any whole milk down there, and I didn't have any option to get any regular chocolate milk. It was 2% basically chocolate milk, which I'm not real big on that kind of stuff. But I like all the fat in there. I think it's important that you have the right kind of fat in your diet. Fat is an important part of your diet, believe it or not. I'm not a nutritionist. That's one of the other things I'm not, but I'm just saying. What do we got going on here? So President Trump, he's using words and phrases and saying things, that just driving the left-wing media nuts. This is my take on this whole thing. And I know that, that's why this show is called The News According to Me, because it's about what I think about the news. And you can tell me what you think about what I think about the news by calling 812-379-8778. leaving a text message or a voicemail. I equate this to, so if a guy has a, let's say a basketball player, you know, like the Harlem Globetrotters kind of thing, whatever happened to them? They have, you know, a guy spinning a ball on his finger. So he's got this ball spinning. He's got it balanced on his finger. And you keep it spinning. You know, you just keep popping it, keep popping it, keep popping it, keeps it spinning. This is what I think Donald Trump does with the media. I think he keeps them spinning in circles on the things that he wants them to be spun on. And that enables him to, you know, let's throw this out there, make the media spin, and then we'll get our stuff done over here, and let them, so they won't bother us. And he's calling reporters, you know, that's a stupid question, and saying stuff like that. Calling Tim Walz, the governor of, well, right now he's the governor of Minnesota. We'll see how long that lasts. There are so many scandals in Minnesota right now, especially with this whole Somalian issue, money being funneled off through programs that are supporting apparently what's considered terrorist organizations. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood has been designated as a terrorist organization under the Trump administration, and I wonder why it hasn't been before now. I don't understand what the Democrats got out of. Well, it's always about the money, but there's money flowing, obviously, into the hands of these nefarious groups in Somalia. And apparently, there's a Somali gangs are deciding who is going to run for public office here in the state of Minnesota, and which I will be in later next week, or the latest week. The interesting thing about all that is how the turmoil that goes on there. It's one scandal after another up there. All the programs. There was an autistic child program that was in the feed. There was a child feeding. It's always about the children. It's about the children. I just care about the children. That's what Nancy Pelosi always says. I just care about the children. Well, the children aren't getting anything. The money's all going somewhere else, and it's a fraud. The whole thing's a fraud. And of course, Ilhan Omar is right in the middle of all that. And now that it has been determined legally, it has been actually there's a case against Ilhan Omar saying she did marry her brother, committed basically immigration fraud by getting her brother into the country. She put down that she was legally married to her brother. Now, I don't know if it was a stepbrother or what it was, whatever it was, or if it was a biological brother. I don't know. It doesn't matter. They probably didn't consummate the marriage, I would think. I don't know. That's not a, you know, I have no idea. No way of knowing that. But allegedly, this is what has happened now, is that they have committed immigration fraud. And that's, you know, a big surprise there. These people, you know, then she's got this speech out there where she makes this big speech about how much she loves this country and Somalis love this country. They're so much a part of the fabric of this nation. And then you have the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, who basically says that Muslims shouldn't have to assimilate into the United States culture. And you got other people saying there is no culture, that Americans have no culture. It's all culture from other places. And you've got some Muslims now saying the same thing. Now you have some of them saying that there's nothing here. This country is terrible. It sucks. And it's, you know, the only thing that's good is what the brown people bring to it. Until you go to, you know, so if that is the case, I guess I don't understand. If you go to their countries, the countries they came from, why are they such nasty countries? If they're such great places to live, why did they come here? Why are they coming here? They're setting up. And this is something that happens when there's names. They have specific names for this. When Muslims enter a particular country and they settle in and they have lots of babies. Now, of course, they can have lots of children and they go on the government dole and they have all kinds of government help to do so. So they're outpacing the native population here. That's how they take over. That's one of the ways they do that. Of course, they don't assimilate. They maintain their the Muslim demographic is expanding greater than any other demographic in the world right now, and it is a I think somebody said it the other day. It was pretty. I think they said it the best. It's not that there aren't good individual Islamic individuals out there, Muslim believers. That's not the problem. That's not the problem with individuals. The problem is, the ideology when it comes to managing and governing governance within a people with the religious leaders. The way it is a political movement. They definitely have a governance system. They want Sharia law, has nothing to do. They don't want to come here and assimilate into our freedoms. You don't see the freedoms if you go to any Muslim-run country, which where they have an official Muslim or Islamic state. You will not have basic human rights. You will not have the basic individualist rights that we have in this nation. You don't have that. It's incompatible. There's a lot of good speakers out there that can much more articulate about it than I can be. But you just don't have those basic fundamental rights that you do in this country, and Sharia law does not uphold those rights. It is based on their religious practices, and now, the system in America is not perfect. The United States doesn't have a perfect legal system, but it's not certainly. I would say it's one of the best in the world. I've just listened to a guy this morning. He's a former CIA operative. He was kind of a pretty far up in intelligence. One of the intel, I think it might be an NSA. Has since come out. He was just kind of doing this off the cuff interview with a couple other people, and one of the things that he said was he's been to like 72 countries or something like that, and he said this is absolutely the best country in the world. He said there's no question about it. He goes, you go to any other country, he has not found one that's better than this country. With regard to and that's which you have to wonder if it's such a bad place to be. Why do the Democrats want people to come here or allow them to come here? And why are people coming here? Why are they risking life and limb to get here if it's such a terrible place to be? It's, of course, the whole free health care and all that stuff. Well, we have the most, the richest nation in the world. We can't afford health care for our citizens. Well, that's quite the thing to bite off at that point. And the way the Democrats have ruined it is through the whole ACA system. That's what it was designed to do. We talked about that before. But my chai is a little bit cold. I didn't quite heat it up quite enough. I don't have a microwave in my room here, and I have to go down the hall to get to a microwave, which is a little bit inconvenient. However, at least it's chai, I guess. I don't know. We have a couple of the things that are going on right now, and one of the things I kind of want to talk about is this whole Mamdani thing. Now he's running into some problems in New York, a little bit under pressure. For he's not able to get the funding that he needs to make things happen, and now he's asking people to give to his campaign. I think he said the average donation. They just raised a little, about $1 million, I think, in just donations from people. And of course, he said the average donation is about $77. Now, which is small donations. They're considered small donations. Now, here's the problem with some of this stuff. There are organizations out there who are funneling money into this kind of thing. This is probably a genuine deal. The biggest problem is when you have a democratic socialist, as they call themselves, a communist, they always pick and choose the oligarchs that they're going to work with, or they make their own oligarchs, so they can become an oligarch. Now, what's happening here, this is what happens everywhere else, but this is what happens in the States here. He's talking about people shouldn't be billionaires, shouldn't be millionaires, billionaires, that kind of thing. He wants to tax those people like crazy. Of course, they're going to leave. That's how that works. But what is happening is we have George Soros's son has now made a deal with him to help to donate to his campaign and donate funds and do all this kind of stuff and help out the city. And of course, therein is the problem. You have somebody who has enough money to buy their way in to the administration and be one of those oligarchs that they will, you know, because they can afford to do all that stuff. And of course, a lot of the money that's flowing through the Tides Foundation and the Open Society and all that kind of stuff that George Soros is a part of, all those organizations are also getting funding funneled back to them. There was USAID was a huge support of that of his all of his organizations. That's where some of the money was coming from. Some of the other organizations, all the little NGOs, little non government organizations that were being funded and founded. This happens so much on the left, and it's so corrupt. This is what Stacey Abrams, the lady who was trying to run for Atlanta, governor of Atlanta, she was doing this. She started an organization out of the blue. I don't know what the name of the organization was. And all of a sudden, she had $2 million in her bank account that she opened with $150. My numbers probably are incorrect or wrong, but allegedly this is what happened. All of a sudden, overnight, they had, you know, millions of dollars in this account, coming from an NGO, another NGO that was basically donated to that, nonprofit that she started. And of course, the people at the top are the ones that always make all the money. And they're, you know, that just because it's a nonprofit doesn't mean that the CEOs can, you know, as long as the board members approve it, they can make whatever salaries they want to. They can get bonuses and perks and benefits, even though it's a nonprofit organization. This is why some nonprofit organizations, including, I believe, is it Cars for Kids? I can't remember. There's a couple of them out there. I'm just mentioning that one, but there's some out there that are, only a small percentage. Sometimes, my understanding is sometimes 15% is like a lot in some of these organizations. That's considered high. So you might donate $1 million and only $150,000 go to the actual, you know, kids that you're trying to help. Now this is not the way Ray Kroc operated. Ray Kroc has passed away, but Ray Kroc took over the McDonald's franchise. And he was quite an interesting fellow. He ended up in his later years, as he was passing away, his foundation basically ended up stepping into. I think there's a Kroc Foundation, but he works directly with the Salvation Army. They fund when they come in and build a facility. They might come in and build a Salvation Army, you know, Ray Kroc found facility type thing. Kroc comes in and not just builds the facility and puts it there. He puts an endowment in. In other words, it's functionally it has all the budget funding for 20 years. And of course, they take fund, you know, they take donations and that kind of thing, which stretch out that time. So when you put something like that into the community and it's already ready to go, and then you have you know, people come in and they rent space. There's, you know, they usually have space for churches to come in and have meetings and public, you know, community events, all kinds of things. And people can come in and teach, and they can do whatever they want to. Have courses there, classes there, all kinds of, you know, programs that they can have. You know, whatever it is, fitness workouts, whatever it is. And they come in and do those kinds of things, and they can charge for those services. The facility, you know, somebody might come in with a class on, you know, just basic fitness, and so some instructor comes in to do that. He charges people for that class, and then he rents the space. He or she rents that space. Maybe it's a, you know, spin class or something like that. They rent the space, and they end up paying the facility for that. And of course, that just adds to, you know, it lengthens out the amount of time. So there's this 20-year buffer that they start with right off the bat. And within that 20 years, the place is up and running, and it's actually got, you know, decent program. It's very well thought out. And it could literally go for 100 years just based on that 20-year endowment, because of that endowment money stays there, and then it gets added to all the time because of the community support. So it's a fascinating way to do it. And it seems to work very well. Of course, the facility probably won't last 100 years. It might last, you know, 50 or 75 years or whatever, but it's you know, but I'm sure that things aren't, you know, things will be renovated and have some things done to it. But the that's kind of the way things work really well when you have those kinds of people doing things. Now, what Mamdani's doing is he just wants to take money from the rich and somehow give it to all these people who just, they just want free stuff. And this is, we talked about this last week, this whole Lagrasse thing, or Largesse, or whatever we call it, benefits. People want benefits, and they find out that they can vote for themselves benefits from the national treasury. And this, it's just, they want free stuff. And it's that's unsustainable. Can't continue to do that. Rather than having government provide them with ways to be productive, to make money, to build wealth, they don't do that. And that's one of the things I think that is most confusing, I think, for most people. They don't understand the difference between building wealth and having wealth and being wealthy. And there's a mindset, there's a certain kind of understanding of managing funds and managing money that children are not taught today in school. Because the public school is horrendous at teaching basic finances and basic just basic wisdom when it comes to managing finances. I think personal finances and money management in general is not being taught in our public school system, and I think that's a tragedy, especially with inner city kids. They're basically consumption individuals. So there's basically three stages. I think the poor, what was it? I just saw this the other day. The poor live from day to day, and they'll spend money. There are poor people who will spend money to make themselves look rich. The middle class is comfortable where they are. They make enough money to pay for the things that keep them looking, you know, keep up with the neighbors and all the things that they want. Typically, most of them are in debt doing so. The carrying a $700 a month. The average car payment is $700 a month right now, and I think 60%, over 60% of the cars on the road today. I think it's 65% of the cars on the road today. Could be wrong on that. I'm not a statistic guy. This is all for entertainment purposes only. I'm pretty sure it's 65% of the cars on the road today have a loan lien on them. It might be more than that. It could be higher than that. But the average, I think, around the United States, and that's pretty high. And the average payment is over $700 a month. Now, that seems incredible to me. I guess when it comes to, you know, now of course housing prices have gone up like crazy, and mortgages of course mortgage payments are high as well. There's some crazy things that are happening economically in our nation. A lot of that has to do directly with the imbalance that we have in our immigration system. We have too many people coming in that need housing, and we can't build them fast enough. And of course, it just drives the price up because there's supply and demand. It's always about supply and demand. I just heard a guy this morning. He said, you know, if you've been out there buying a second house just to rent it out, you know, for three times, by the way. He goes, you know, you're the guy that sucks. You're the guy who, you know, we hate. You know, you're the guy, you know, he just, you know, basically hates that person for doing that, for buying a rental home or something expand his income. This is a ridiculous attitude to have. To look at someone else and say, well, you own two homes and you should be letting somebody else buy that house so they can own it. So now you're buying it and you're renting it for more than the cost of, you know, the guy's taking a risk. He's doing something, but he's building wealth. I think that's, you know, it's economically, why don't you go out and build your own home or get your own home or do the same thing? The problem isn't the guy who's doing the problem isn't with the individuals who are doing that. The problem is with the big companies that are doing that. And even those are not as big of a deal as what you might think. I don't like the fact that organizations like BlackRock and some others are out there buying up land and buying up properties and then you know, renovating them, turning them around, whatever, flipping them, whatever they're doing, into rental properties. I have a little bit of a problem with that, but at the same time, that's just part of our economy. And at some point, that business model can only go so far. You still there's going to be a lag time when they're going to be, they're going to be in a slack time when they're going to be the builder of their own bubble, basically, at some point. I won't get into that right now, but it's one of those things where there's no use being upset with somebody who some school teacher. I happen to know a school teacher who owns several rental properties. As he has the summertime, he can work on the properties, get them, he buys one usually, every couple of years, he gets it flipped, gets it turned around, fixes it up, turns it into a rental property, makes it, kind of an affordable place to live. Doing that kind of thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just trying to help out the community, you're trying to get, things. It's a rundown property. Chances are somebody else who would buy that would probably get in there and be strapped with the payment, unable to do anything, and probably would continue to let it run down. That's just typically the way it goes. You just don't, there's just different kinds of people in the world, and the kind of person who has the ambition to do something with an investment, who's going to keep that investment going because it's making him money. And it's just the way it is, folks. It's just we're not living in a utopian society. That's just kind of, anyway, folks, thanks again for listening. 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think about what I think. And we'll go from there. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. Thanks for listening, and I will talk to you from Appleton, Wisconsin, maybe tomorrow. That's the plan. So, God bless. See ya.